Reel number four. I think that the operations in Germany East were singular in the whole of the First of the World War. There wasn't really another campaign anywhere quite like this one. And I'd be interested to get some of your impressions of the main problems and difficulties as you experience them personally in this campaign.
The main difficulties, of course, were communications. As I said just now, there practically were no roads at all. Our engineers cut roads through the jungle, but immediately the rains came, of course, these roads were wiped away again. And we did have one car, which was able to be used on one or two small roads which the Germans had made. But apart from that, everything relied on the Tengertenger, the carriers. The next thing, of course, was disease. There was an enormous amount of malaria, black water. And later on, we got meningitis, which wiped out a great many of the native troops. We were without letters or anything like that from home, of course, entirely. The communications were so terrific. See, we were 200 miles at least most of the time from the head of Lake Nyasa, and from there everything had to be brought by these carriers. There were more carriers than troops by far.
Presumably, the lack of good roads was exacerbated by the sheer size of the territory which you had to cover.
Oh, of course, it was colossal, and we were chasing von Lettow-Vorbeck, trying to catch him. He was trying to avoid us, and I don't really know what he was trying to do, but he was a very wonderful man. And whenever we thought we'd got him, he always got away somehow or other.
It's one thing which strikes me reading about the operations in German East Africa is the terrific respect that the British and other Allied forces seem to have had for their enemy.
Oh, yes. They were clean fighters. Von Lettow himself must have been a very fine general. In fact, we thought so much of him that years afterwards we had him to one of our dinners in London, one of the East African dinners.
Did the wildlife in the area ever cause any problems for you?
The biggest problem that caused was with our telephone lines, our field telephone lines. The giraffes with their long necks and the monkeys playing on them, we really very frequently couldn't get through anywhere at all, and we had to rely to a very great extent on helio, which hardly exists nowadays. But
That's using a mirror
using a mirror,
to use a,
we
do you
did
use a Morse code system with the mirror?
a Morse code, yes. We did get, on one occasion, we did get 80 miles with that.
Did the composition of the Allied forces that were operating in Germany, East Africa, cause any problem? And it was a hell of a mixture, wasn't it?
Oh, yes.
British, South African, and a host of different kind of
Yes,
Indians,
British,
native
South
troops.
African. We'd no Indians on our side. They were up on the north. But we had Rhodesians, West Africans, and then we had the curious South African force of Cape Race, which were only allowed to drive and push mules about and that kind of thing. The South African government didn't like them coming up to us at all because they didn't like arming the Cape Race.
Do you think this tremendous mixture of forces influenced the campaign in any particular kinds of ways or had any effects upon it?
I don't think so. They all worked pretty well, I think. The King's African Rifles, we had, of course, two battalions of them, who are very, or were then, very, very fine troops, just as fine as any British troops.
Now, you took part personally in a good deal of very mobile activity in actually trying to locate enemy forces. Tell me a bit about how you were equipped and to carry out that kind of work, and what sort of general policy you adopted in trying to track him down.
Well, of course, actually, I had no equipment at all. I mean, I was just myself. And what would happen would be, I think of one case, we heard that General Varley was trying to come down south and was coming away from the northern troops, and we wanted to know where he was. And I was told to go and find out where he was, and that I could take some troops from the northern Rhodesians, which I did. I had a box car, a Ford box car, which could go in most places through the tracks, where were the tracks made by the engineers. I picked up a machine gun and two gunners from the Southern Rhodesian forces, BSAP, and one man from the Nyasaland Field Force. And I took my servant boy, Punch, and with this boxcar, we went off looking for Varley. We came up against his troops at a place called Madabira, where I suppose really I oughtn't to have put up a fight at all. I ought to have really got straight back and told them what I'd seen. But I suppose there were probably 100 to 200 of them. I only saw one white officer. But we saw them and got close enough. We stopped the car, got the machine gun out, and fired at them. And then the trouble happened. The machine gun jammed. And at the same time as it jammed, the backsight was shot off, and the machine gunner was shot clean through the chest. Then his assistant was shot. Then the Nyasaland Field Force man was shot. So there was only the driver left, and my black servant, and myself. So I thought it was better to get back if we could. So we succeeded in getting the wounded on to the back of the car and set off back. Then, of course, we found that the back tires had been shot through, so we had to drive on the rims. And then when we got about 4 miles away, I suppose, we got stuck. We couldn't get the car to move at all. It was stuck in sand. And I'd got this one man whose leg was just hanging by a shred in the back of the car, so that he couldn't be moved out of it unless we got somewhere to put him. And so I waited with that car and sent the others on. I had previously told the Rhodesians that if we didn't come back within a certain time, they should send a load out of troops. And luckily, they arrived, and we transferred the wounded to the other truck and left the Ford in the jungle, having taken the gun, of course. And we eventually got back with very important information, which, of course, was just what the general wanted, and he was able to send troops out to deal with it.
I know that the second half of the campaign in German East Africa has never been described by an official history. It always strikes me as rather odd.
Well, it's all made out. The official history is written, because I've seen it and was asked to put any corrections that I could into it. But it was never published because it has remarks made about it which I think are not very complimentary to some of Smuts's doings.
Mm-hmm. Are there any particular aspects of the campaign it's critical of?
Well, Smuts, you see, came home to England, and one thing he did, he said, oh, the war in German East is finished. We hadn't started the damn thing properly. He poo-pooed the whole idea, tried to make it look small. That was one thing, I think. That, mm-hmm. But otherwise, I don't know what it was.
Yes. Another battle in German East, which you were a witness of, was the Battle of Malangali.
Malangali, there were about a thousand Germans.
What was the situation? Where was Malangali? What was it like?
Malangali is pretty well in the centre of our part, the southern part of German East. Very hilly, and the most extraordinary thing, the Germans, to show what they could do, they brought a gun equivalent to a 4.5 How, to our 4.5 How. They manhandled it the whole way from the northern forces right down to Malangali, and I don't know what they were going to do with it eventually, but they had this gun there, and of course we'd got nothing like it at all. But they fired only a few rounds, and they were intending to go on further, obviously. But we had South African forces and the King's African Rifles surrounded them. We thought we'd got them. We thought we'd got the whole thousand, but not a bit of it. During the night, most of them escaped, and in the end, we only got two white officers prisoners, a Colonel Hübner and Lieutenant Mainz, and about 200 German askari. Otherwise, the rest of them had got away again. They were just impossible to catch.
This seems to have been a feature of a lot of the operations in
right
German
through.
East Africa. I wonder to what extent it is a tribute to the skill of the German, and to what extent due to the quality of the commanders of the Allied forces.
Oh, I think it was the skill of the Germans and the jungle. Don't forget what jungle is like, thick jungle. You can hide and... Oh, yes, it's very difficult.
I suppose it's an illustration, an early illustration, of the difficulties of combating what was, after all, a kind of guerrilla warfare.
Oh, yes, it was.
How a small force can hold up a substantially larger one.
Oh, yes. And, of course, we hadn't got enough troops. I mean, we wanted more troops, but couldn't get more.